desire and interest in your prayers today, your attention. I've written on the board behind me, revival. But then there's two words that follow the word revival. Your choice. Your choice. I'd like to start this morning in the 6th chapter of John, and maybe the 47th verse. It's a passage we've read before. I'll probably not read every verse, but I'd like to get the gist of it. The Gospel of John, starting in verse 47. This is Jesus speaking. Invite you to listen to his words. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me shall have everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers, they did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, speaking of himself, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. 53rd verse said, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except or unless you, as personal, except you as an individual, eat, partake of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, partake of who he is, not just on the outside, but drink it, and eat it, become it, you have no life. There's no other option, no other way. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He that eateth my flesh, verse 56, and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. 58th verse, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat mannas. Not that kind of bread, that the kind of bread that perisheth. The bread that's temporal, that feeds the physical body, but then that's all. This is a different kind of bread that comes down. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And the 63rd verse said that it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that brings to life. It's the Spirit that brings to life that which temporal bread cannot bring to life. And that's what he's speaking of here. The flesh profiteth nothing, because it passes away. But the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they're life. Doesn't it seem like everybody would want to choose that? But the 66th verse, sadly, says from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus turned unto the 12 and he said, will you also go away? Will you also go away as a result of hearing something that is hard to hear? Is that going to spell the end of your discipleship because you heard something that was difficult to take in for yourself? And so they, "Will you walk away too?" And Simon Peter said, "Lord, to whom will we go? Where will we go if we do turn away? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You have the words of life. It may be a hard saying, but where would we go? If not this, then we turn away from life itself." So Jesus spoke some difficult things. He did. Spoke some difficult things. Some received them, and some didn't. Some of them chose life regardless of the cost. And others didn't. Others, many it said, turned away because they said it was too hard. Well, we're entering camp meeting season. Camp meeting season's already started, but we're getting ready to have our camp meeting here. And there'll be other camp meetings that follow. And why do we do that? Why do we have camp meeting? Why do we go to the time and the expense and the effort for that? It's a time that is set aside to reconsecrate to life itself. It's an opportunity for revival. Camp meeting, coming and hearing the word of the Lord is an opportunity for a renewal of purpose. Renewal of purpose and dedication to the Lord. And it is true that when we come, we too might hear some things that are hard to hear. And when you come, you might hear some things that, your insides, they're you can't hardly see how you could apply it to your life, even if you believe it's true. You hear some things that are hard, but you're willing to apply readily. You hear some things that are hard, but, you don't know how you could possibly apply that. You might also hear some things that you don't really understand. That happens. You hear something that you're not exactly sure what the meaning of it is, particularly for you in your life. And whatever it may be, we're going to have an opportunity to do one of two things, or a variation of the two. We can accept it, meaning we can be open to it and let the Lord speak to our hearts and be willing to be led, or we can do as many of these disciples did and turn away from it. And it's going to be a very personal choice. It's going to be your choice whether you want to experience revival or not. It's not my choice. It's for you, but it's your choice for yourself. And so this morning, I'm inspired ahead of camp meeting, as we've done different times right before we enter this season, to challenge us just a little bit to prepare our hearts for the word of the Lord. And that's my burden this morning. Jesus here was teaching something that would have eventually resulted in all of these people being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and finding eternal life. Every single one of these people could have experienced having the Spirit of Jesus Christ live in their hearts. And the Lord knew that some of the things that he said, were hard. He knows that life is not always easy. He knows that there's sacrifice involved. And so at one place, he tried to prepare his disciples and by extension us. And he said, don't let your heart be troubled. I understand that what it looks like you're facing. He was getting ready to go back and be with the Father, and the disciples were concerned about that. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled, because I want to send you the Spirit, my Spirit. And He'll be your comforter. And He'll teach you, and He'll lead you. And the things that you don't understand, He'll help you understand what it means for you. And He'll bring to your remembrance the things that I've said unto you for your encouragement and your help and your edification. And yes, you'll face tribulation in life. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And if you accept me and my Spirit, then you too can overcome the world. And all of these people that turned away, all of them, could have had the Holy Spirit, could have had life. But they chose to turn. They chose to make a decision with what Jesus had said to them in this sitting, and they chose, because it was a hard saying, to say, I can't. And so this morning, as a challenge, as an exhortation, what number will we be of? What number will you be of? What will you choose? Life, our life depends on it. What did they really walk away from? They walked away from the choice of life itself. And others chose life regardless of the cost, recognizing there was no other good place to go. And that responsibility lies with every one of us. And I know there are times when we're children, we're growing up, and we're young, and there are things we're probably not going to understand for some time. But most of us won't be in that place. And it's going to be up to you. Where mom and dad can't... You know, my mom and dad really can't make me do a whole lot anymore. They used to. But I'm not in their house anymore. And I've been out for a long time. And what I do is my choice. My teachers at school can't make me choose how to live life. That's in the past. And the Lord has chosen not to make me live for Him. He didn't chase these people. He let them go because that was their choice, the ones that turned away. And He won't make you either. We have a choice. And there are many voices that clamor for your attention. There are many noises. There is much that is competing for space in your mind and in your heart. And some of those voices come along and they quickly say, oh, that's not necessary for you. You hear something that's not easy to hear, and it seems like a hard saying, and there's a voice that quickly says, well, they're just wrong on that. Or, well, that's not necessary for me. That's, you don't have to do that. That's probably outside of the bounds of what the Bible really wants. And we quickly can give in to those voices and those thoughts, because we're human. If we're not very deliberate and intentional about being open to hear what doth say the word of the Lord, what will our choice be? preached before about revival, talked a little bit about what the word means, and I'd like to read some definition of it again. Revival means restore to life or consciousness. Restore to life or consciousness. A reawakening. Is anybody spiritually asleep today? One time I'd been doing something so long at work. I worked, and the clock went all the way around, and 24 hours passed, and I kept working, and it finally came time to go home. And so I got in my car after I don't remember how many hours it was, and I had about a 30-minute drive home, and I was driving home. I mean, I was doing something I've done many, many times, and I was driving along, and all of a sudden I woke up, and I'd been asleep for a long time. I don't know how long I'd been asleep. My eyes were open, but I remembered nothing. I was way down the road. Have you ever had that experience where your body, we won't get into how the brain works, but there's parts of the brain that just automatically, that's done it so many times, you don't have to think. It just does. And I was just going. And I woke up with a start and looked around, and I was way down the road, having been asleep. But I was still going. I was still driving. I was still in the car. I was still heading to destination, but I was asleep. You think we can do that spiritually? We're just so used to living a certain way. We're just so used to going down this certain path that we just automatically, we just live like that. And yet, if we're not really careful, we can go to sleep. And you know what can happen when you're asleep? The unexpected can happen in the path that you're so accustomed to. And bad things can happen. You can lose your life. Revival involves just a reawakening. It's ensuring that you're awake. It's an instance of something becoming active or important again. You may say, well, I'm awake. It's important to me. But from a spiritual standpoint, it's also having our spiritual, our perspective re-enlightened and sharpened, our perspective on what's important. I don't know about you, but there is a reason why the Scripture says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. There is a reason why we are taught to consistently read the Word of the Lord every day. There's a reason why we consistently teach and hopefully practice carving time out just for Jesus. Because what it does is it helps inform our perspective on the relative importance of things. Because if you don't do that, we can become so caught up and carried away. I know, because I've been there, with whatever it is that it begins to consume your heart and your mind, and you start to lose sight of these other things that are actually more important than that. I've found that before where I spent a lot of years working. I would think some things were so important. I would just be so focused on them. Just had my attention and causing me anxiety, and it was just so important. It had to be done until something really important came along unexpectedly. And all of that other stuff wasn't given another thought while the things where life itself was paid attention to. And that happened to me a few times, and I started realizing, I wonder if maybe those other things aren't as important as I think they are, even when these other things don't seem to be happening. But we can do that in our lives. We can get so carried away with a lot of things that we lose sight of what's really important. And so the scriptures teach us, give yourself plenty, a good portion of your daily plate of those things that help remind and reinforce what's most important. Renewed passion, increased vision might result in recentering of priorities, behaviors, re-engaging our hearts on things eternal. Have you ever looked through a scope before and it got a dial on it, and maybe it's a 3 to 9, you can go up to 9 magnification, and someone may say, do you see that thing out there? No, I don't. Well, increase the magnification. So you increase that thing all the way up to 9 and go, oh, okay, now I see it. Yep, I got it. There it is. But you know, on a lot of scopes, there's another adjustment. And it's an adjustment that you can turn that helps sharpen what it is you're looking at. And really what it is, it's adjusting for your eyesight, how it may or may not adequately see what's in there. And these meetings that we have, they serve to sharpen our vision. We can say, oh, I see it, I get it. Yeah, I know, I've heard it all my life. But the Lord wants us to have these sorts of times together to help sharpen the image so that we can get a hold of it, maybe in ways that we didn't get a hold of it before. Maybe there's things that we've adopted in our lives and we say, well, I'm not really sure I completely understand it, but that's fine. I accept it. I get it. I'll go along with it. The Lord might want to help you understand why better for you. Sharpen the image just a little bit. And so we have these sorts of services, and it's one of the reasons why Paul said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, coming together, because God set it up for us to be fed by other people that are in the body of Christ that have things to contribute, that He gave them to contribute to the whole versus giving it to you personally. Some people say, well, it's just between me and God. Well, in the end, you are going to stand between just you and God. However, the Lord set it up in this life that each would fill a place in the body. There are many members, but one body. And if you neglect the many members, then you go through life maimed. You go through life without an arm and a leg and maybe missing an eye and an ear and no nose. But maybe you feel really good about the one thing that you have, but you're missing the other. God set it up this way. And if I'm not careful, I can go through life and miss what the Lord is trying to help me understand. I can miss opportunity cost. You know what opportunity cost is? Opportunity cost is the cost that is associated with setting this opportunity aside and choosing this opportunity instead. That's what opportunity cost is. I'm not going to eat an ice cream cone, and in place of the ice cream cone, I'm going to have a healthy portion of broccoli. The opportunity cost is that you don't get to enjoy the taste of an ice cream cone. That's the cost associated with it. Sometimes we can lose sight of the opportunity cost associated with the decisions that we make in life. Say, the ice cream tastes good. There's nothing wrong with it. And we can get so consumed with it that if we're not careful, we don't recognize that the cost associated with putting that aside is nothing compared with the cost of what we're leaving on the table. And other people in the body of Christ, God has given it to them to help us have a broader perspective of what God wants for us in life. He set it up that way. Let's purpose to come and hear and act, being honest and open to the word of the Lord. In the second chapter of Hebrews, it says, therefore, we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have. What did it say? To the things that we've thought. Let us take the more earnest heed to the things that we believe are right. Let us therefore take the more earnest heed to the things that we have convinced ourselves are right for us in life. Take earnest heed to that. Is that what it says? No. Take the more earnest heed to the things which you heard yourself say. Is that what it said? No. It said, let us take the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. And it's speaking of what you have heard from another source beside yourself. For if the words spoken by angels are true, and if every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And we neglect so great a salvation when we neglect to put ourselves in places that the Lord wants us to be so He can speak to our hearts. Sometimes people say, well, I just don't see it that way. I've never understood that, and I just don't see it that way. And it's very possible they're being completely honest. They don't see it that way. They don't understand it. But they would understand it, and they would see it differently if they would have put themselves where the Lord wanted them to be so that they could receive. You receive not because you ask not, one verse says. We receive not sometimes because we don't feel like it's important enough to put ourselves in those places. So the Lord help us seek life as we enter into camp meeting season, not assuming that we've already arrived, that we're rich and creased with goods and everything's good. And we've arrived. So just a few specifics. We have a few minutes left that I'd like to leave you with in summary and in conclusion. Let's be present in body as much as we can in the meeting. This was brought out in Sunday school a little bit already. But think about opportunity cost on what maybe you have to give up so that you can be in service, and if it's really that important. This doesn't happen all throughout the year, every single day. It's a relatively short period of time. Let's do the best that we can by the help of the Lord to be present in body here. Let's be challenged to be present in spirit. You say, well, I went to church. Well, that's good. That's a start. But if I could just challenge us a little bit to do everything we can to make decisions throughout the course of the week, and I know it's a busy week. It's a tiring week. By the time you get to the end, most people are ready to go home and take a nap go home and get away from it all because it is physically tiring. But I believe that there are some decisions that we can make throughout the course of the week to help us better be present in spirit versus just in body. And you'll have to decide what that is for you individually. Doing what you can to get some sleep does help. But this is the bread of heaven. I don't want camp meeting to come and when I get to the end, all I've partaken of is the manna that came down from heaven like our fathers partook of. And I'm relating back to what Jesus said, where it was that manna that just passes away, which was enjoyable, but it's a time to receive some manna of a different sort. A manna that brings spiritual life. So let's do what we can to be present in body, and be present in spirit. And then another challenge is that when we come, Lord, help us to be open in spirit, to have an open spirit and an open mind. I don't want to come and sit and just and be ready that everything that I hear is said is, nope, that's not right. Yep, I agree with that. Okay, we'll let that go. Nope, that's not right. Oh, they need a little bit of help in that area. Lord, help us that we come with an open heart. Of particular note, it's important that we older ones do that. You know, a lot of times the young people feel like they're picked on. They feel like, why is it that everybody's always preaching to the young people? Why is it that people get up and they're always seem like pointing to the young people? Well, there's a reason for that. It's because the older ones know that when you're young, you make some of the most consequential decisions of life. And once you make them, it often sets the path for the rest of your life. And so the older ones know that. And so they want you to make the right decision when you're young so that it can help the whole rest of your life. That's why. But my exhortation is to the older ones right now. Let's, we older ones, come with an open mind too. Because it's very possible that the Lord has something specific to teach us. There's recentering. There's some lane changes that may need to be made in your life. Sometimes there are decluttering operations that the Lord would like to do in older ones' lives that over time, your mind and your heart starts getting cluttered with all these seemingly okay things to do. And in the process, we've squeezed out something that we need for life. And yet if we come and we say, well, I've lived this way all my life. Thank the Lord that you have. And I mean that. That's a blessing. But we can say, I've chosen this way, I did that, I've been there, done that, did that a long time ago, and I'm still here. And if we're not careful, we can be drawn into a place where we feel spiritually comfortable when the Lord wants us to feel spiritually uncomfortable. Not that He wants us to live without peace and without rest. Peace and rest comes from being awake and aware and letting the Spirit deal with our hearts each day, as opposed to getting comfortable to the point where we're ready to just be here in body but go to sleep because we're already there. Is that, do you follow me? So let's, we older ones, let's come with an open heart to receive. And lastly, let's come to the meeting being willing to share as much as we're coming to receive. We're hosting this meeting, our congregation is. And we do it because we have needs in our own spiritual lives and we need help and we need revival, all the things that we've talked about. But there's other people that travel a long ways away, from a long ways away, and they're here, and they're coming for something too. And the Lord set it up for us to receive, but he also set it up for us to give. And so if we could, let's go into the meeting with looking for, being on the watch out for those windows of opportunities where we can contribute to revival in somebody else's life, where we can contribute to a blessing in somebody else's life, where maybe there's some seed that we can sow, a word spoken, interest given. Maybe somebody will come that's not normally here, maybe doesn't know everybody, and it's really easy to separate out the people that you know and that you're comfortable with. But oftentimes one of the most important people that need to be attended to when they're here are the people that nobody knows very well. And it's not as easy to interact with them. But let's look for those opportunities to reach out. Let's look for those opportunities to speak words of encouragement. Let's ask the Lord to give us songs that he can speak through. Special songs. We have singers here. We have good singers in our congregation. These meetings are a success when all of the members say, "Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, help me to know what it is you would have me to do." And he has something for all of us to do, not just to receive, but to give. Maybe a song to sing. Maybe a number to call that you've asked the Lord. "Lord, would you help inspire me with the right song to call? Lord, help me to know that maybe something somebody needs that I don't know anything about. Would you help me?" And come willing to call a number. Let's come with a spirit of prayer. Let's be willing to pray in our camp meeting. Those of you that the Lord helps with public prayer, be encouraged to carry a burden of prayer publicly in the meeting. And maybe that's, if that's not where you are, come with a burden to pray with those that pray out loud, that the Lord will bless our service. And you know what else is not harmful? When people come together, let's be peacemakers. Anytime there's a large group of people, often there's opportunity to be a peacemaker. Maybe you hear something that's being talked about, and maybe it's your window of opportunity to throw some water on a fire. Maybe it's your opportunity to bring about peace. Maybe it's your opportunity to help show a different side of the picture which helps bring peace. Blessed, Jesus said, are the peacemakers. I want to take advantage of the seeds that are sown my way, and I want to be willing to sow seed. So let's come prepared to our meeting, willing to give as well as receive. Pray for me. I want to do my part.